Welcome to the Midwest Scrubcast. I'm Emily Rastel, and I'll be your pilot for the party bus today. Joining us in the... oh my god, I forgot what slot you were in. Wow. I don't do this often enough. Joining us in the gunner slot. You are the gunner slot. That's where you are.
Yeah, man.
Clint AC Face Houston. I should have called you Clone Face because you, you know, you played clones instead of aces.
I'm not AC anymore. AC on the faces. But
I think it should have been something about pockets.
Something about pockets.
Oh. Secrets in the pockets.
Secrets in the pockets.
Pocket secrets.
What has it got in its pockets?
Pocket secrets, Dan. Pocket secrets. Hi, hello. Along for the ride with us is Connor the Omega. I don't know his last name, actually. Connor.
Hey, guys. So this is the part where I introduce Dan.
Yeah. I believe it's supposed to be
Dan Lightning Daddy Peterson.
That's the one.
Oh.
I don't know what does he go in the co-piloting?
Crew slot, I think.
A crew slot.
It's been so long since duct tape to the hole. I don't remember the slots.
Duct tape to the hole. Yeah, that also works. Lightning Daddy rides where he wants.
Yes, he does.
Hello. And joining us in one of many snuggling departments is Matt. Got a new car, Carrie.
Hey, yeah. Yay. I did get a new car. Like, I think it's about 4 weeks now.
You definitely had it last time we recorded, and we all refused to say anything about it.
I mean, I don't know if.
I forgot about it.
I was going to say, I know you refused.
I refused.
And I guess as our duly appointed representative, we all refused.
What'd you get?
I got a Toyota GR86. It is a fancy little sporty car. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you like it. It would have been sad if you did not.
Yeah, no, I make sure that I like something before I get it. Mm-hmm. Which means that I may deliberate on buying something for 8 months, but I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the tips given to me when I was buying my first car was just make sure you like it, like you like everything about it, because even the things that you like 6 to 8 months from now, you're going to start to dislike. You know, so it's like if you start with something where you're like, oh, that's going to be annoying. It's going to be real annoying in 8 months. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'll take that advice and I'll go with that. So I did. And I had an old car. I say old car. It's like 12 years old and I had almost 200,000 miles on it. So I was like, you know, it's about time to get a new one. So I did. And I was looking at used cars, and they were the same price as the new car, so I just bought a new car. Because, like, used cars are insanely expensive right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll toss it back to Emily, the Terror Rastel.
Thank you. All right, so here we have with us today a substitute winner of the... prize of dubious value. We said on the last episode. On the last episode, you may recall, we said that the drawn winner was
Lauren
someone
Ford.
Different.
Lauren Ford, and she recognized how dubious.
She recognized how dubious the value, was. The value of the prize was.
And she is one of the more intelligent barons.
So she refused, and then we re-rolled, and Connor happened to be the one.
Yes. So, Connor was chosen as tribute to replace.
And is not smart enough to know not to come on.
Yes,
I have
correct.
Never claimed to be so.
So, welcome, Connor, to your prize of dubious value. And congratulations for doing so well in the fit-westing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you put up a lot of numbers.
Yeah, I picked up a lot of heavy things.
Well, there's a way to do it.
So let us, I guess, begin with our traditional scrub AA meeting. Connor, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Connor Curry from Birmingham, Alabama.
Hello, Connor.
Hello, Connor.
Are you supposed to use last names in AA meetings? I don't think you are.
You can.
I think you can.
Are you allowed
to? It's...
Do they kick you out?
I think you're allowed to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, like, nope, sorry, you gave us your last name. You are.
I mean,
no
the whole thing is anonymous,
cannot,
right?
That's true. It is alcohol.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's
yeah,
true.
I imagine, like we'll say 30 years ago, you could have given your last name, and it would have been really hard. You know, like, they would have had to go to the white pages and hope that you're the right John Smith, you know? But
there's
John
not Smith 37 is a very, other ones.
Yeah.
It's a very common name, though. At least it was, maybe? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What?
John Smith?
John Smith was a very common name. That's right. Why I'm saying is like, so if you were John Smith or, you know, you had a common name.
Also,
know?
It sounds made up.
And you had a very common name. You could give your name and it'd be hard for people to find you. But now the way that things are so interconnected, maybe you do have to be truly anonymous.
All right, well, now that we've derailed the AA meeting, please proceed, Connor.
You're supposed to tell us why you're a scrub.
Oh, why am I a scrub?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I do play League of Legends. That's okay. Pretty scrubby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm bad at it, yeah. So that's extra scrubby.
Yeah, you are.
Can y'all attest to that?
Yes.
I mean, Dan seems to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Very much so.
What a scrub.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a scrubby thing to do because the other ones do it. I'm the only one that doesn't, and then,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But you've got the best possible reason.
What?
You don't want to.
I don't want to. Yeah, no, that's a really good reason. I played for a little bit a long time ago, and I was like, I'm not having fun, and then I didn't.
Yeah, smart man.
Yeah, I mean, and when a lot of people are like that, you know, where they're like when. I remember when I was a teenager and people were like, do you smoke? I'm like, no. And they're like, no, that's probably a good idea. I'm like, that's how I feel every League of Legends conversation goes. We're like, do you play? No. And they're like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, we all know it. We can't help ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is strange how addictive of a game it is for... As much
how not fun it is.
As much frustration as it, you know.
It's stress inducing.
It's stress inducing.
It is fun.
It has its highs and lows, up and down.
Winning is fun.
Mm-hmm. Winning is fun.
Winning is the most fun.
Sometimes can be fun, but most of the time winning is not fun. Or losing.
Losing.
Sorry, losing.
What?
Yeah. I was like, what do you mean? I mean, I can understand how you would be
sorry,
salty after a win, but...
No. He's right.
Well, because sometimes you win too easily, and then it's not fun for that reason,
yeah,
right?
So if you win too hard, then they just forfeit, and that's no fun, because you want to win really hard and just punish them and make them miserable.
Yeah. For all the times that you have been punished and made miserable.
Yeah. Careful, right. You know... punishment. You
so
know,
the
like...
ideal, what ideally happens is you wreck somebody so hard that they want to quit, but they're toxic, and so the rest of their team holds them hostage the entire time.
Then you just get to assert dominance over right. And over and over.
That is peak League of Legends.
And we all signed up for this.
I was like,
join us.
It's like I'm sitting here and I'm like, I hate this game. It's like I haven't played it for like a decade and I hate it. It's like you're not really doing a selling point for me.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. Not trying to.
Yeah.
No, we're really bad at our reviews. We're very critical. We don't really give any ups. We just give all the downs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clint was saying that yesterday or whatever that like
I noticed there were several different times
that he was talking about different games and he was like, "Wow, I am so bad at convincing people to play games because I just somehow I end up just talking about the negative things."
There's a reason I'm not a salesman because I just tell the negative sides of things and or products. It, even if I use them, I'm just like, yeah, I use this. But, you know, here's all the bad things about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, so like just how I normally critique everything that I expect. You know, like, I love film and I critique it all the time. So, like, it's like, if you love something, you're not going to.
If you love something, you should hate it.
Yeah. I mean, not quite that, but it's like, I, you know, pick it apart, you know.
Because the saying is, if you love something, let it die, right?
No.
No.
That is not it. Oh. Yeah, no, I like critiquing things, even the stuff that I like, you know. That was X-Wing for a long time. You know, writing articles about it was like talking about stuff that I didn't like, I liked, and, you know, all that kind of stuff, or just film, or basically any game that I play, you know. So why not? But also, badmouth the stuff you don't like as well. Yeah.
This is true.
Dan's disrobing. For everybody at home.
Take it off, Dan. Woo!
Listen, Lightning Daddy does as he pleases.
So I just assumed that was a League of Legends reference.
It's a reference to Dan's means of employment.
Oh, okay. Well, he's an electrician guy. Yeah.
It's a reference to his means of employment, and also the fact that Brian now works and lives with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's Lightning Boy, or is he Kid Lightning?
He can't get away from Dan.
Yeah. He jokes periodically about, you know, oh, you're not the boss of me on like a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday when it's the weekend. And then Connor immediately comes back with, well, he's your landlord, so.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Matt also disrobed, so you all know.
I took my jacket off.
Yeah, I think originally it was Electric Daddy, but
I don't think Electric Daddy lived very long.
It lived about 15 seconds.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same spice.
No, Lightning was way funnier.
Yeah. But Electric makes sense because, you know, you're electricians, but... Uh-huh.
It's more on the news, but lightning. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we harness the lightning. Yes, that's what electricians do, as everyone knows.
Oh, my
He's
God.
He's a thunder wizard.
Dan, so when we were up at Thanksgiving, our brother-in-law was like, my sister's husband was like going down a rabbit hole of like looking up what electricity is. Okay. And kept like trying to ask us if we knew things about electricity.
All kinds of,
because he knew
really
Clint had worked with you
questions.
In electric stuff, you know, for a while. And so he was like trying to ask Clint, like, what is electricity? And what is
an ohm? Or
it was something even more obscure than that.
He was asking some really obscure names of electricities and
things. Yeah, yeah. Like, and we essentially...
electricity things. Electrical things that do with electric.
I'm curious. What is electricity?
Oh, he was also asking if we knew what a transistor was. Okay. Which we did not. And eventually we were like, you know, maybe you should just direct these questions straight to Dan, the Lightning Daddy himself.
But like, that's not... I don't deal with electronics.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, transistors are like an electronics
small circuits,
thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And this was the I don't know the answer to any of these questions because it's not at all what I did. Mm-hmm. So can't answer you.
Yeah.
Probably couldn't answer you anyways, even if it is what I did, because, you know,
didn't pay attention.
It's
kind of like when people assume that I know everything about computers just because I work in IT.
Do you not?
What?
I mean,
is that even allowed?
I actually think that's a leap that is more sensible to make. I would think, like, go with the same kind of workplace environment, a plumber, and you start asking them questions about, like, the chemical composition of water, and they're just like, I mean, it's H2O, but I don't know much more than this. You know, like, I don't know much about the science of water aside from, you know, that I would assume it'd be the same kind of thing.
But dams work. Like, it just doesn't.
Like, listen, man, I just take it from here and I put it over here.
Right.
Yeah. He's eccentric from time to time.
No, I mean,
My perspective, it's exactly the same thing, though, as being expected to know how all kinds of IT works. Because, like, so I understand why it would be easier for people to make this, but, like, so, like, I don't think it's a crazy stretch. So the plumber thing was obviously, you know, an exaggeration. Like, you wouldn't expect a plumber to know how dams work. But, like, I think it's not completely unreasonable to expect someone who works with electricity to understand the science underneath, like, the science of...
But, no, of, so it's not the science behind it. It's, like, I don't deal with any sort of circuitry that does anything with resistors and transistors mm-hmm. and capacitors.
Okay,
I don't
so that,
deal with that.
Right.
At all.
So that it's was a, yeah. So that was a specific. Well,
it's
but
he was
to,
asking, he was yeah. asking questions also like, what's an amp? What's
oh,
a watt?
Sure.
What's well, a megajoule? What's yeah. you know?
Like, uh-huh. I can explain what amps and watts are. That's
uh-huh. yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
But you know.
But anyway,
that,
my
all,
point
that,
being
that's what I mean.
My
he
point
was asking,
being though,
what,
like,
what are the names of all these electricities?
My point being, to you, it's obvious that an electrician doesn't deal with transistors
sure.
and capacitors.
Transistors.
But to somebody who isn't an electrician, it's not necessarily obvious. And it's the same thing with IT. Like, somebody might ask me something about, like, how, you know, a computer works or, you know, whatever, and I might not. And it, I'm like, I don't know. I just make websites, man. Like, I don't right. know how you're, you know, yeah. I don't know how to set up the audio for this podcast. Like, I'm just going to stumble through it the same way anybody else would.
Right. my buddy Mike, he's, I think he's the head of networking at WashU. And, like, as he was working his way up the ranks, he was like, 80% plus of your IT problems, I go to Google and I Google it.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like,
yeah, no, it, that is real too. Yeah,
granted, I, you know, he's like, I do have to know, you know, how to, you know, implement, you know, what's there. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, you know how to, you know, work your way through the computer. And sometimes, you know, if like you actually have to change code or something like that,
right,
he's like,
right.
you know, I.
There's a certain level of contextual
yeah,
knowledge required,
yeah.
but you don't have a catalog of everything in your head.
Yeah,
of,
yeah it's like, but yeah, yeah like 80%. He's like, I just Google it and be like, okay, this is what you do in this situation. And then I would show up to the area and then, you know, the computer and then do that and then leave. You
uh-huh,
know? It's
uh-huh.
like, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. So, Connor, what do you do for work?
I have a really boring to most people desk job now. I work in quality for a dental implant manufacturer, so
okay.
I do a lot of FDA paperwork.
Oh,
all right, all right.
But I got into that because I started working as a quality inspector with that company, and I got that job because I did some time in the military and was
okay.
a aircraft mechanic.
You know,
okay.
I always associate aircraft with
dental
implants. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Dental implants. Yeah.
yeah. No, it was the inspection part that
ah, yeah,
was
yeah.
the link.
Yeah.
yeah,
I get that.
Sense.
My parents worked as inspectors at Boeing and McDonnell Douglas
okay.
and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
yep.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah, as a mechanic in the Air Force, I did a lot of inspections of post work, and so it translated pretty well when I got out and
mm-hmm.
got into the civilian marketplace. And then I got so good at that they stuck me behind a desk and made sure all the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That sounds fun.
It's you know I joke
it?
It's really not that bad. It like I actually do like it, and it helps that I work for a really really good boss. So
it is nice.
It doesn't get boring.
I feel like that's a large percentage of job satisfaction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In general,
it is
just who do you work with, right?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Yeah.
yeah, I've worked at the place that I've worked at for since like 2015 because you know they've
yeah.
treated me well. It's like
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I could go somewhere else and work and be miserable, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right,
but
you're rolling them dice.
Here they treat me well and they like me and you know I feel valued. So
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
So do you know all about teeth since we're using the electricity?
So I know a lot more about teeth than I did 3 years ago.
Okay.
Right. I never thought I would know this much about teeth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Someone incidentally, I went to the dentist on Friday.
Oh, how'd that go?
Better than normal. Like
okay.
normally every time I go in, they're like, you need to floss more. And I'm like, I floss like 6 days out of the week, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
like I may miss a Sunday because I don't go anywhere near floss and I just veg out the entire mm-hmm. day. But Yeah, they were. He was like, yeah. I was like, because I stopped going during the pandemic, and that broke the routine. Mm-hmm. And they sent an email the other day. They were like, hey, show up, and we'll give you a free estimate for Invisalign, see if you're a candidate, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know what? Now's the time. I'm going to go in and do this. And they're like, all right, please come in, because we need to, you know, make sure that your teeth aren't jacked up over the last 3 years. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay. So we go in, and he's like, actually, your teeth are really good. I mean, you have two chips on your front teeth, but, you know, that's just normal wear and tear. You know, it's like, it wasn't from you not brushing or anything like that. It's like, you're doing really good. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, this is the first, like, positive book report or, you know, yeah. status report I've gotten back, where it's just like, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing.
And, uh-huh. you know, nice.
Come
nice.
In for the cleanings. Mm-hmm. I am a candidate for Invisalign, but insurance, my insurance doesn't cover orthodonture over 25 years old. So,
oh, interesting.
I would have to pay the full price of mm-hmm. $5,000. And yeah. I'm not truly feeling that. So,
not that concerned mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah.
Not that concerned about it.
Every single time I go to the dentist, they're like, have we talked to you about Invisalign?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, you have. No, I don't want it. Not because my teeth are perfect. I know they aren't, but because I went through like 10 straight years of orthodontia as a child / teenager, and I'm done.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I was just going to say, like, I started going to the orthodontist probably at age like 8 or 9,
yeah,
and all the way through high school.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it wasn't like constant. Like, so yeah, I had braces, I had retainers, I had an expander, I had a Herbst appliance. I had the works.
Yeah.
And my teeth are still crooked, not because the orthodontia was insufficient necessarily, but because I didn't wear my retainers as well as I was supposed to, because of course I didn't, because it had been 10 freaking years and I was done with it.
I will say that your teeth aren't noticably...
Like, no, they're not awful. Yeah. You look like, at the bottom ones, though.
Okay. I mean, and that's basically where I'm at. My first, like, three right here. That, and mm-hmm. that was what the doctor was saying.
Everyone's licking their teeth right now. I know they are.
He's like, these three are the ones that, you know, have chips on them. And these three are the ones that would be helped the most by, you know, mm-hmm. having Invisalign, because they're hitting your top teeth because they're not set right.
You know, like, right, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Connor, you can fix my teeth, right?
Yes. Sign here, please.
You know how to dentist, right?
So do you know all of the numbers of the teeth or anything like that?
I do, yeah. That was one of the things I had to learn.
I wondered if that was one of the things, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've never seen numbers on my teeth.
They're on that backside.
They're on the backside. That's what the little mirror is for. It's not actually...
Okay. That checks out. All right.
So then they can check which number they're looking at.
Okay. Neat. Today I learned.
So what kind of implants does your company do?
So I work for a smaller subsidiary of, it's a company called BioHorizons, which is like the largest North American implant company.
Okay.
Cool.
And the company I work for specifically makes what's called a custom abutment, which is a really fancy words for a titanium, like the root of a tooth.
Oh, okay.
So you have the implant is the screw that goes into the bone.
Sure. Okay.
And then the abutment goes on top of the implant, and then you put a crown on top of the abutment
right.
to make it look real.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So we make custom, up until about like 10 or 15 years ago, abutments were pretty much just stock parts. Like they were all the same. You had like 6 different sizes, and they were all just these little titanium cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
But we make, a dentist will take scans of a patient. They'll send them to us. We'll design an abutment, and then we'll mill it and send out the finished product, and it just helps with strength of like the crown and the whole implant system as a whole.
Yeah.
Right. Neat.
So I don't know if your company makes use of this technology, but this was the first time I went to the dentist and they took a 3D model of my teeth.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, they took a 3D scanner and went in, you know, and just scanned all my teeth. And then they showed me my teeth. Mm-hmm. And without your gums in the way, or without your like skin in the way, it looks very disgusting.
I bet.
It's weird. Yeah, so that's called an intraoral scan. Ah. And we use those a lot. So that basically, so a dentist can either send that or they'll do what they call taking impressions.
Oh, I had so many impressions when I was a kid and I hated it. Oh my God, it was the worst.
So they'll take impressions and make like plaster models.
Yes,
and
oh my God.
The plaster models.
I had so many of those.
Ourselves.
It's gross. It's
I've had
so
that
gross.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a fun process.
Oh, I'm having flashbacks now to like age, to like
it's
age
also,
10.
It's also way less efficient. So we very much prefer the scans, but some doctors are old-fashioned.
Yeah.
So they like scan, their models. They scan your teeth so that they can 3D print your new ones so that whenever you're done with these ones, they're ready to go.
So you're joking, but that actually is a thing that some doctors can do. They will print crowns in-house. It takes about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And from those scans, they can have you in and out in about an hour with a brand new tooth.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. There aren't a ton of doctors that are doing that yet, but
the most advanced ones.
It's coming. It's coming. It's just really expensive for them to get into. So
sure.
The machines for it are fancy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I imagine you have to have a very fancy, you know, machine in order to do that. Yeah.
It was just really interesting. They were like, hey, we got this and we're going to take a scan. I was like, you didn't have this last time I was here. And they're like, we've only had it for like 2 months, so it's new to us too. But they were, I think is one of the reasons why they're, you know, having like the Invisalign special, because it is very, very efficient for, creating the Invisalign braces, because you need a very good, I would assume a mold or a scan of it. So it was interesting. It was odd.
Mm-hmm.
So dentistry is come a long way in like the last decade, from my understanding.
Yeah, I'm still having those horrible flashbacks of the gooey. I was about to say
the gooey
stuff. What is that stuff? I mean, it's like. What is that stuff that they put in your mouth and press up the roof of your mouth? Yeah, please, over here.
It's some sort of rubber.
Rubber, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just some sort of like, you know, like rubber cement type stuff that they just. Yeah, they fill those trays up with it. Shove it in your mouth.
It's gross. I've had it.
It's so gross.
I just didn't know like what exactly it was.
So my experience was just like, once I got to be an adult about 27, I met a dentist that actually was nice and listened to me. That was a nice advancement in dentistry happened. I don't know if that's a more common thing now, but like the dentist.
It's not.
Okay. I was going to say, because like the dentist I had growing up just, you know. I'd be like, that hurt. And he was like, okay. And then we just kind of keep going, you know.
Right.
And
shut up.
And then I finally, as an adult, I, you know, just switched and got a different guy. And, you know, I was like, that's still. And he was like, that still hurt? All right, I'm going to give you some more Novocaine. Jeez. I'll be back in 15 minutes. I'm like, cool. That was nice.
It's quite a different experience.
Huh? Yeah, much different experience. And I imagine that was part of the reason why I didn't like going to the dentist. Now it's much more routine. I don't care.
I feel like dentists would get more people to come in regularly if it wasn't a torture session every time.
Oh, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, it seems logical.
I think they just there's so many patients out there for them they're not really worried about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's always enough somebody else they can get to come in.
Yeah, I think there's that. And then also, just like me, I didn't know that it was better. You know, I didn't know there was better out there. You know, this was the one that I went to when I was a kid and just kept going and kept going and kept going. And then around about like 21 years old, I just stopped going to the dentist. And then when I was 27, I had a toothache and I had to go to the dentist. And I talked to somebody at my work and they were like, hey, go here. And then I went there. I was like, this is so much better.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I know that also happens just like with regular doctors. Like most people, you know, they don't know that they're getting raw treatment, you know, from a different doctor, you know, that they could have gotten a better doctor. But also, you know, most of the time it's like, well, we can get you in a month and a half. And you're like, okay, well, I'll just take this doctor because it's the one that I can get into, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nobody wants to shop around for doctors.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's... Yeah.
I don't want to pay this copay twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Clint, you were going to say something.
We all need
to be quiet. Clint has a dinosaur.
I have a dinosaur in my pocket.
The answer to the question, what has it got in its pockets, is a dinosaur.
I have a dinosaur in my pocket.
Is
dinosaur
it Velociraptor?
It is a sauropod. I presume it is a brontosaurus.
Brachiosaurus,
brontosaurus.
Yeah, because brontosaurus don't exist.
Yeah, right.
I don't think any of them exist.
Well, you're right. They
not anymore.
None of them exist. it has been a source of entertainment because Clint keeps forgetting that he has it in his pocket and then keeps finding it in his pocket. And he's like, he pulls out the brontosaurus and it's like, you know what? This is fantastic.
Like, this is actually kind of nice. Yeah, I found it the other day. I just put it in my pocket randomly. In my jacket pocket, and then a couple days later, you know, I have my jacket on, and I like pat myself down, like, what is this in my pocket? I stick my hand in my pocket, and I just like biggest grin on my face. It's like, I have a dinosaur toy in my pocket. And then, I still have it.
Spreading dinosaur joy.
Yes, spreading dinosaur joy.
By pulling a dinosaur out of your pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
It's like finding money in your pocket, but different.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, Connor, what's your favorite dinosaur? I feel like this is a good question, right?
Oh, it's a Velociraptor.
Velociraptor, all right.
Oh, have you ever played The Isle?
They have Omniraptors on The Isle, Dan.
I don't think so. I've played Ark.
Right, okay. This is not really the same thing.
This is
but,
not that.
No.
But it is also a dinosaur-themed survival game, but you are the dinosaur in The Isle.
You invert the role. Oh. You are the dinosaur.
You are the dinosaur.
It is a dinosaur role-playing game. Dinosaur survival role-playing game, I guess.
Yes, basically. Yeah.
Is it like an MMO?
Yes.
Yeah, you get on a server with a bunch of other people. And
You're on a server with a bunch of other people who are also role-playing dinosaurs, walking around the map, eating food. If you're a carnivore, you got to eat other players. If you're a herbivore, you walk around and eat plants and stuff.
Oh, this sounds fantastic.
it is. The graphics are actually really cool. It's called The Isle.
Huh. Yeah. I have to look that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you start playing, I know Clint would play it with you.
No, with the three of us, actually.
Yeah.
Matt doesn't. Matt's a big video gamer, but he doesn't play any video
never
games
plays
with
any
us.
Boo.
Boo.
Yeah, no, right? We're like, hey, Matt, we're role playing dinosaurs over here. He's like, nah, I don't want to. I'm like, all right, whatever, man.
Listen, Matt, I listened to the one where you explained why you don't play multiplayer. That's not competitive.
The Isle is less competitive than most other things we play.
Man, the Isle is so competitive. You play a carnivore, like you survive by killing other players.
Right, but not your friends that you're playing with.
Stop.
Right.
We're trying to get him to play.
This is true. You can, you can actually, like, pack, like be a pack together and all that.
Same dinosaurs of the same species can group up together, and you can't talk to it's actually funny because you can't talk to dinosaurs of a different species. So like when you're in the server, like you can type to dinosaurs of the same species and they can hear.
But when you type, your dinosaur actually makes noises and like. And so you can't speak to another species of dinosaur, but you can speak to your own species.
Mm-hmm. But while you're typing and your friends can read, other dinosaurs
can also
hear you.
Yeah.
So they can hunt you or they can just be like, oh, that sounds like another friendly herbivore. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except other herbivores are not necessarily friendly.
It is actually a very, really cool game. Like you start off as like a little baby or a juvenile, and then you have to you grow up to an adult and survive as long as you can. And depending on the size of the dinosaur you choose, it can take you different lengths of time to grow to an adult. Like some of the larger dinosaurs can take like 8 hours
to maybe get, I don't know. I have no idea what
full
it
adult.
Is. Yeah,
mm-hmm. it's
you
a,
played
it's
it
a
more
long,
than I did.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Time.
Yeah,
but like some of the smaller ones, it's like oh, 45 minutes, you're a full adult. You know, but also if something hits you once, you're dead.
Yeah, and
tiny.
Once you die, you have to start
you have to
over.
Start over again. Yeah.
And this is where the replayability only goes so far because eventually you get tired of just accidentally running off a cliff and dying. Because that is also a thing that can happen.
Yeah, so imagine putting like 4 hours into a dinosaur and then like running from something into the forest. And then all of a sudden,
there's a cliff.
You hear one of your friends go, ah, guys, stop, 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 there's a cliff, there's a cliff. Oh, I'm dead, oh no.
Or better yet, your dinosaur is dying of thirst, and you're like, okay, I don't see any crocodiles around. This is safe. I think this is safe. I'm going to go drink some water. And you go down, and you take a quick sip, and bam, you're dead.
Crocodile jumps out of the water and grabs you. Mm-hmm. Some player who's been sitting there for like 30 minutes waiting for
just waiting
somebody.
For some sucker to come by and
get a
drink
of water. No,
it's
a fun
game.
That sounds cool.
It is a fun game.
Yeah,
in
I'll
some
have
way.
To check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you do, let us know, and we'll jump on there, and we'll be Raptors with you.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's on like Steam.
Yeah, it is on Steam, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I have to give that a look.
Heck yeah. Well, I'm going to put my dinosaur away. That was my content that I brought.
Dinosaurs with Clint.
I'm going to put that dinosaur back in my pocket. And
yeah, so you can find it for later.
Yep, find it for later, and it will bring me joy when I am sad. So Connor, did you bring any topics of discussion with you today?
I was going to ask him actually what he did for his Fit West scrubbing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so I have in the Fit West channel, most of the people seem to like the cardio.
Yeah,
right.
And I don't like the cardio so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd mostly just go to the gym and lift weights.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, I get my nice little half an hour walk at lunchtime, but mostly. Mm-hmm. Mostly, I just pick up heavy things and put them down.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And repeat.
Yeah, I get you. I dislike all types of exercise, but I am more likely to dislike forms of cardio. I think probably
you enjoy
than
cycling.
I do like cycling. No, I was just about to say the exception is biking. The exception is and always has been biking, and I do like walking and I do like biking, but that's like it.
Yeah.
Like other forms of cardio, I'm not. I have never been particularly into.
So if I really have to, I can make myself do like a stationary bike.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, if I'm going to be doing cardio, it better be attached to a sport.
Mm,
like
sure.
I play hockey on the weekends. So like that
okay,
is
that's fun.
Something I'll do. But I've never run for fun.
Yeah.
And that will never happen.
I don't know that I've ever run for fun either. It's been for exercise and I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always hated running. I've never pushed past the awfulness of it to get to the supposed land
supposed
of milk and honey on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's like my sister's husband. His family are those people who go on Thanksgiving and run the marathon.
Ah, yeah. Right.
Like they, and it's the whole family.
Oh yeah. Boy.
And my sister stays at home with the kids. It's like,
I think
I ain't having that.
I think Stephen was the one that said he was like, my worst fear was marrying into a family that everybody wanted to do the fun run on Thanksgiving.
Turkey trots instead of mimosas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, give me, I'll drink your mimosa.
Yeah. But, the cardio just always seems to be the easiest because, like, I would always just do 10-minute walks during my breaks at work. And it's like, that's an easy way to get 20 minutes a day, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like lifting heavy things either. So it's like, just exercise in general is not something I'm a fan of.
Yeah, I struggle with most forms of exercise, to be honest. Like, you know, like, I never thought I was particularly interested in doing weightlifting or strength training either, but I was, you know, coerced into it when we scrubs decided to start doing it together. So I was coerced into it, and I like it. I like it more or hate it less than I thought I would. Like, I'm not saying I'm like super into it, but I don't do it on my own time. But as far as a group exercise activity, you know, it's not so bad.
Yeah. Well, and that, I mean, this is probably the case for running or biking or whatever, but the lifting of the heavy things, it gets a lot more fun the more you do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Any sort of exercise is that way, I think.
And that actually was the great thing about FitWest was last year was my first, last October.
Mm-hmm.
So 2022 was my first one. And it just so happened that I had gotten to know you guys like the month before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had also just started going back to the gym because I got married in 2021,
okay,
and started to get put on that newlywed 15.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, sure. Yep.
And it was looking more like the newlywed 40.
Right. Yeah.
So that first FitWest was really nice because it kind of gave me an excuse to not give up after 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And get over that hump of like, you know, actually enjoying it instead of just dreading going to the gym.
Yeah. Having the pants method that people all need to see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's helpful. I mean, and just having
it is
just getting the little thumbs up of mm-hmm. you doing something. It's like, all right,
I did a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People know I did a thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm glad that worked out for you.
It really did.
I anytime I hear a positive story when somebody's like, yeah, this actually got me to establish this new habit or do this, it's like, oh, we actually accomplished our goal.
Yeah. Like, right.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Okay, so back to Clint's question. Did you bring any other content for us to talk about?
Well, I have a question because I know at least a couple of y'all are kind of big on the pen and paper RPGs.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of y'all ever played Deadlands or the Savage Worlds system?
Clint and I have played Deadlands before. Yes, and it was neat. It was extra layers of complicated that I both did and didn't appreciate, but it was neat. And I would like it's one of those things that like the Western theme doesn't specifically grab me because I've never been like, you know, specifically interested in Western theme. Like that's, you know, that doesn't catch me, you know, in the way that like a fantasy theme would, for example, or a Star Wars theme. But the system was neat and I would play it. I would not want to play it all the time, but I would definitely play it again.
Yeah. Nice.
So that was pretty cool.
Before I ask you what, so the reason I'm asking is because I'm kind of a forever GM, sort of, and I'm about to start a Deadlands game with my brother and sister-in-law and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And but before I ask a whole bunch of questions that for Matt and Dan, Deadlands is like it describes itself as a Weird West setting.
Okay.
So it's like the Wild West with zombies and ghosts and vampires.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Monsters and stuff.
It's a really cool setting. It's one of the more interesting ones that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Matt wasn't here for you describing Deadlands. He knows. I was going to see what his wild guess was of what Deadlands was, but he appears to actually.
Well, wait.
Know.
Let's see if he gets it right.
So it's Wild West, but there's also like zombies and guns and stuff like that.
Close enough. Yep.
Zombies and guns.
Yeah, the zombies have guns.
Monsters, vampires.
Sometimes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes they do. Sometimes the zombies are player characters.
Oh,
I didn't know players could be zombies. Yeah,
so I could come down to Burma and be a zombie in your campaign.
You could actually. I could actually write you up a little, a little backstory if you could drop in if we're up and running.
Right. Just play a little one shot there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no. So that is actually a thing. They're called Harrowed, and they if your player character dies, there's a mechanic where you get a chance to come back as a zombie. Get a whole bunch of new powers and limitations. It's actually really cool.
I feel like that'd be really bad for me because then I would be like super reckless.
So
yeah, that's fine.
So, and you would be really able to be super reckless up until you weren't. Like, it makes it even less forgiving when you hit that threshold. It's just like, oh, and you're done.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it is really cool. A cool, whatever game mechanic, how it all works and everything. Like we were taking a break in between one of our in between campaigns of D&D, because like we just wrapped a campaign up that we played for a couple years, and then our GM was like, oh hey, I got this manual for this game called Deadlands. Let's go ahead and play that. And we were like, all right, cool, I guess. This was like during the pandemic. We were playing on.
That's right. We played that virtually.
Yeah,
too,
we played this all virtually actually.
Yeah.
We only really played, I guess, technically like a really long one shot because we played several sessions and a few months worth of play. But then like once we like killed the big boss guy and wrapped it up, it was like, all right, we're done with this. Let's go back to D&D because the next person that was going to be a GM had their campaign ready. So it was kind of like a let's play this while the next person is like getting prepared for starting its campaign. Mm-hmm. But
so
it's really cool how you like for those who don't know, like they use like a deck of cards system for
initiative
and how many turns you get on a round. So like some characters can have like one or two turns and some people can have like five or six.
Wow.
Depending on how you build your character. And it's pretty
yeah, that part was neat too. Yeah, I forgot about the deck of cards thing.
Yeah, the deck of cards thing was pretty interesting.
And you also have to reload, right?
Yes, you have to reload. Yes. Like it is actually pretty cool. Well, that's
you
part
have to track
the,
your ammo.
That's part of like having multiple turns is like, so I was playing like double gun six shooter guy, so I would like shoot three rounds out of each gun on one turn, and then I'd pass, and then other people would do their stuff, the monsters would do their stuff. Now I get another turn, I shoot my other bullets, and then maybe I come up again, maybe I had the 9 and the 10 of diamonds or whatever, and so I play twice in a row and I reload.
Yeah.
So that was kind of how it plays out, and it was kind of cool. I know there was called shots, like you could actually aim towards specific body parts.
Yeah.
And when you you could destroy specific body parts, which is what Connor was saying of like when you get hit, sometimes you're just dead. It's a crit.
Well, yeah,
to the head,
that's
like oh,
some
well,
of the monsters can only be damaged with called shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
well,
because they're supernatural things.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was really cool. I liked it. We had fun.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all play with the the exploding dice system, or was it the the D20 adapted?
I don't remember. What's the exploding dice system?
Yeah.
So the exploding dice system is what it is like the actual system the game was designed around, where you start out with a D4 on each of your attributes.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Yes, we did that.
We did that.
And if you roll the max number on whatever die you're rolling, then it explodes and you roll it again and add the total.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
we
did
that. Do
that.
That
was
a really
weird game.
So that was one of the things that really made me interested in this system.
Yeah, it added extra layers into rather than just rolling a d20 and adding your skills.
Yeah,
it was like, well, I want to be a strength character, so I'm going to put my d12 in that, but I don't want to be a smart person, so I'm going to put my d4 over here in my intelligence role. And so but when it comes up to time to be like, okay, so everybody make an intelligence roll, you're rolling a d4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can offset that by getting larger numbers of d4s.
Yeah,
I think.
If you roll a 4, then you roll again, and if that's a 4, then you roll again.
Mm-hmm.
And you can explode infinitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Get that crit chain.
It was
all
weird.
Of a sudden your D4 dumb guy just rolled a 26.
That's really great. Yeah, when the stupid guy just makes a really good suggestion, everybody's like, yeah, let's do that.
You're right, Grog. Let's do it.
So yes, but, we did do that. Yes.
Okay, cool. So what was one of the some of the things you didn't like about it? Because we haven't started yet, mm-hmm. so I'm still going through the rule book and seeing what I want to be strict on and what I don't. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I remember on that level of detail. What the thing I remember, because it's also been a while. It's been several years. Oh my god, COVID time. It's probably been 5 years. I don't even know. No, because it was during COVID, so it's been 2 or 3 years.
It's been about three years.
Whatever. So what I remember was I drew out charts for determining what to hit and what the wounds did and all that kind of stuff. I don't remember exactly how it worked, but however it worked, I had to draw charts and tape them to the wall so that we could reference them when we were in combat to remember how to do stuff.
Really, really helpful too. Once she made those charts, every time it was you know, on our turns, we knew what mm-hmm. to do, then I think we ended up basically being the chart people for everyone else because right. they were just how does I rolled a this, what does that do? Uh-huh. Yeah, but we had the charts. We'd be like, you did this. Uh-huh. All right, now roll again. Okay, now you did this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had to make
it's really helpful.
I had to make charts for how to do for how exactly all the combat stuff worked. And then once I had charts, it was better. But really honestly, the only thing I remember disliking about it was I was this is so much, especially playing, you know, 5th edition D&D, I was going straight from that to Deadlands, I was oh boy, this is so much crunchier, not in terms of, you know, math numbers per se, but it was just it was cool that it was complicated because it allowed you to do things tracking wounds on different parts of the body, and, you know, it made it more like realistic or whatever, you know, kind of thing, more of a proper you know, battle simulation, gunfight simulation, whatever, right? So I liked that, but it was also complicated and I kept forgetting how things worked and getting confused and, you know, yeah, had to make charts. So really the only thing I remember was just that it was complex. And there were sometimes we would, I think, have trouble finding things in the rule book too. Didn't we have trouble with the rule book that one being not extremely well organized?
Yeah, that's right. The rule book was I think also one of those more thematic rule books and was a little hard to find.
Right. Things were not always organized logically when you were trying to figure out the rules for how does this work or how does that work.
Yeah, I have already realized that because I have so there's 3 different version or editions of the game.
Okay.
There's 1st edition which came out in 1996.
Oh wow.
And then there's 2nd edition, which is called Reloaded, and I think it came out 2006.
Okay.
And then there's the 3rd edition, which I don't know if it has a fancy name or not. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be running a 2nd edition game, so I got the book for that. And it's, like you said, it's a very thematic book, mm-hmm. and it is it's fun to read.
Yeah, yeah.
But not always the easiest to reference, flip back and forth.
Yeah, I wonder if that was the version we did as well. I don't actually remember.
I actually don't know what version we did, but
I don't remember anymore which one it was. But yeah.
But yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I do remember. I don't know if I could say there's anything else mm-hmm. I didn't like about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than, so it might be better to play in person because, again, we played online, so it was a little hard. While I really liked the deck of cards thing, being online, it was really difficult to hand out playing cards to different people,
mm-hmm.
Tell them what they had, and then you know, then you're going through being okay, this card just happened. What card is next? Okay, mm-hmm. what card is next?
Yeah,
yeah.
You know that.
Well, that's why I've already bought some fancy decks of cards to use for, because you use them for like you said, initiative. You mm-hmm. use them for generating stuff on encounter tables.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So did either of you play a magic user in this system?
Ooh, I don't remember.
Oh, magic.
The magic in this game is awesome.
Yes, we had a Native American who could transform into animals. If I Yeah, okay. she turned into a crow once.
Yeah.
So, okay, do you remember that? So most of the magic users, they cast magic by winning poker hands.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Because, oh, yeah.
So all the magic users are like basically siphoning power from what this setting it's a fancy word, but it's basically demons.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to win hands of poker against the demon in order to get power.
Right.
And
that's right.
So
it's
actually really cool.
We didn't have anybody play that kind of magic.
If you don't win.
Yeah.
I get to do really fun things.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we didn't have anybody actually go down that rabbit hole. We had somebody dabbling with magic, and then we had like a shaman. But I don't remember the.
I don't even know if the. Well, I don't even. Did we have a shaman, or was that the other game that we just had people talking about? Because like. Because Jeff played another game of it.
Maybe. I don't remember. Anyway. I don't, it's been like 3 years. So, that's right. The magic system was weird.
I remember.
Because you could be like, oh, I go to cast this spell. And it's like, all right, cool. You play a poker hand. And maybe you don't cast this spell or do this thing.
Right. It's like, all right, I want to cast this spell. Well, that requires six points. So, I'm going to deal you a poker hand. And you have to get like minimum three of a kind or something like that.
Yeah. It was weird.
Yeah.
But kind of cool. So that was also while that's cool, that's really crunchy in an MMO or in an RPG. Like when you're sitting down doing a tabletop, like having, figurines and rolling dice and stuff. This one is you're flipping a lot of cards and doing things in between the combat.
Yeah. I think Deadlands is great for people who are familiar with RPGs and can appreciate the level of complexity, know, that it brings. Yeah. Like,
Also smaller groups.
Sure. Oh, probably. Yeah. I imagine you would not want to do a big group. Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, we always play our large, like, RPGs are always
our
like D&D six group. Or seven people.
Me and Clint are D&D, people that we play with. All of our groups just end up being huge somehow. It's kind of nice our Star Wars one that we do with us four scrubs. It's nice having a smaller party. Because...
It is. Yeah, it's really such a drastic difference to only have a party of three to handle. Whereas like we're just so used to always having six or seven players and just destroying everything.
Yeah.
Speaking of y'all's Star Wars game, when y'all get a few more sessions in, I'm looking forward to some more recaps. Those were a lot of fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed them. Yeah,
good. We actually haven't moved. We haven't moved a long way from that point.
I don't remember where we left off, but
we haven't moved a long way past.
Well, we killed the plant.
We killed the plant.
Mm-hmm. It's not technically a plant. The model is a plant. I understand the model is you. Is reality. but it was a flesh
I'm
monster.
Using a shambling mound for like our Halloween themed board is still set up over there. We haven't finished it because the last time we played was like right before Halloween actually.
That's right.
And it's still sitting over there, and I ended up having to use a shambling mound for the mini. But yeah, it was in place of a giant like flesh monster that was a bunch of like stormtroopers all like morphed together.
It was like
a
Stranger Things style,
big monster giant flesh monster.
Flesh of all the creatures put together.
If you ever played Last of Us 2, there's a creature called the Rat King, and it's just a bunch of zombies pasted together.
Like
it was kind of that.
Yeah. Well, yes, it was also a bunch of zombie stormtroopers.
Yeah,
that was all. Stuck together because
Halloween.
Yeah, it was Halloween themed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll do a recap eventually at some point in time. But we need to play more.
We also need to find time to play
to make it worth a whole session probably.
Yeah.
In the standard theme of Clint comes up with something for us to play, and then it shows up on the Disney Plus TV show.
Keeps happening.
It's like there's so many times that Clint's like, but I just did. This is part of the storyline, and then
I just wrote that down.
And then zombie stormtroopers. Okay,
shows up on the big, on screen
in Ahsoka. Yeah, they had zombie.
I was like,
stormtroopers.
But I just Dave Filiona, get off my phone.
Didn't read those terms and conditions, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I accepted to play the Star Wars little game that I downloaded on. Yeah, I keep downloading that game and then I delete it.
What game?
The Star Wars one in the App Store.
Galaxy of Heroes.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. Sure. The one where it's like, ooh, you pick a couple characters and then they fight another group of characters. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's really...
It's one of those games that you told me about.
Yeah, sure.
I did?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
oh, wow.
It was
it's the turn-based one.
Yeah,
it's
something like that.
You have like a team of five.
You had a name for it.
I don't know what those are.
A gacha game?
Yeah.
Oh, gacha game.
I'm sure it's
a gacha. Oh, yes, it is a gacha game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sure got me.
Okay. I probably did say that there was a Star Wars gacha game. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think I know of Galaxy of Heroes. How would I have told you about this? that makes sense. If I was just okay.
So it must have been when I downloaded that, I didn't read the terms.
It's just them recording everything you say.
It's like, okay. All right.
Uh-huh. And you're like, zombie stormtroopers. That's all we heard. We didn't hear what the rest of the story was, but it said zombie stormtroopers. We're taking it.
Oh, but yeah.
Well, how are we feeling on time? Does this feel like an episode?
I think it might feel like an episode. Connor, do you feel like it's an episode?
I wouldn't know.
I mean, Connor, if we end this episode, Emily and I can go back home and then we can play League of Legends.
Wait, so are you telling me we should end it, or do you want me to keep going so that you don't have to go home and play League of Legends?
Yes.
I mean, either way, I'm not playing League of Legends, so I'm fine. I'm safe from either result.
And everybody wins.
You know, we'll do the same situation that happened on the way over here. Since you and Dan don't actually have to leave, you guys can keep the podcast going, and then me and Emily will travel all the way over there. By the time we get home, and we'll boot up all together.
Sounds good.
So were you still playing with Connor when I walked in the door?
Yes.
Yes. And we were playing right before that, and then we were like, oh no, all four of us have to get off because we have to go do a podcast. And Matt and Connor were like, no,
wait,
we don't.
No, we don't.
You and Clint and Emily have to get off. But
Dan and Connor can keep playing. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Got to get that fixed.
Uh-huh. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about, Connor?
I don't think so. When y'all are all going to try to make it down here sometime soon?
We are in January.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do y'all have anything like specifically you're going to be doing?
No.
No.
Coming down to Birmingham.
We're coming down to Birmingham. Okay. Hang out with Bear and people.
I mean, I can definitely. I've got some stuff. We've got
we'll
a
play games. I know
down
that.
Here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A meadery.
A meadery.
A meadery.
Ooh,
no.
Okay. I just drank some mead. 10 minutes ago.
I know you love the mead, so
I mean,
I have to get you down here.
It might be dangerous.
It might be
dangerous. We have to look up whether the meadery is dangerous or not. Yeah.
Oh, true.
Allergy wise,
they definitely have a lot of different. I've been once, and they probably had 20 or 25 different.
Wow. Okay.
Meads.
Wow.
So,
but, okay. Also, we're board game people, so like if we want to do that to kill time or whatever we want
to
do.
I mentioned to Steven that we were all coming down, and he said, oh, this is a thing. Well, we're going to have to figure out some things to do. So you might talk to him. There might be stuff that he's already thinking. I know.
Well, we'll just override it.
He's thinking about camera stuff for me as well. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to, I think he said something about going to someplace and getting some wildlife photography in or some such thing.
Have a nerd date. Mm-hmm. Camera nerd
date. Yeah, we'll have a camera nerd date.
Yep. Sounds very pleasant.
I think apparently Andrew is also into photography, so the three of us are going to go have a camera nerd date.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Good times.
Very nice.
Good times.
Well, yeah. So,
I think that's all I got. Okay.
You don't want to shout at anybody? Anybody
you
want to
shout
at?
People.
Yeah, I guess I'll shout at the rest of the Barons.
They don't listen.
Steven, Andrew. No, they don't listen. Steven, Andrew, Lauren, Charlie, Gonzo, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Gonzo.
Joel. Yeah, you'll meet Gonzo. Okay. Come down, you'll meet Gonzo. Gonzo's fun.
A big nose, right?
Big hooked nose.
Big hooked nose. That's right.
He's blue as well.
I was thinking purple, but yeah, blue could work.
It's
blue.
It's bluish purple. I'll give you that.
Bluish purple? Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know. Like, that just, for some reason in my mind, I think he's purple.
He's indigo.
Indigo.
I think his face is purple.
Is it?
Like the face
part.
Two tones?
Yeah, he's two tones.
Is he two toned?
So, yeah.
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 I would say it's like a grayish blue for his face. And then, I don't know.
It's been too long since I've watched any Muppet stuff.
A different color of blue.
His nose, I distinctly remember his nose being blue specifically. I don't know about the rest of his face.
Oh. So.
Yeah. I thought his head was blue.
For $1 million, what color is
So I said a grayish blue. Is that a grayish blue to you?
It's like a greenish blue to me, I think.
All right, let's see this picture.
Let's see this.
But his nose face is different.
Oh. Turn this picture. His nose is definitely more blue.
For all of you.
I think that might just be a bad picture.
Yeah, that's also a kind of bad picture. Yeah, his nose is a lighter blue than his face, it looks like, but it's also not a great
picture.
But
anyway, so that guy, we're going to go meet that guy? We're going to Sesame Street? Sesame Street?
Yeah, you'll meet that guy.
Here in this picture, his nose is like flesh colored.
Oh, I don't like the. I saw that picture.
No,
I don't like
that's
that.
That's just weird.
Let's see that. Was it? Was
I
it?
Don't like that.
Oh, here's a fan art female Gonzo.
Okay, I'm done looking at that.
All right, so be careful what you
I
Google.
I saw that picture.
Dan's digging deeper, though.
It seems like the general.
Not
stop,
safe for,
Dan.
Not safe for work
down.
Content
stop.
Soon to be approaching.
Seems like the general premise is that his head is a deeper blue and his nose is a lighter blue. Like that's generally what's going on here.
Except for when apparently
are his
it's
eyelashes orange? Is that where I'm getting the orange from? Is the eyelashes orange?
His eyes
are like fleshy.
His eyelids
are
orange.
Okay.
His eyelids are kind of orange. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's where I'm getting the orange from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, now we've had our
Gonzo.
That was the nonsense.
Yeah.
Portion
the
of the
nonsense
podcast.
Portion.
I look forward to meeting Gonzo. I feel like I spent a lot of time watching Gonzo when I was a kid.
Yeah.
There was like the Muppet. We watched them at my house.
Muppet
we watched
show.
The Muppet Christmas Carol all the time.
Yeah.
Every year. Every year we watched the
okay.
Muppet Christmas
yeah,
Carol.
Yeah, that was the thing that I saw.
Uh huh. Yeah.
I think I probably was Muppets Take Manhattan. Was
yeah,
that a
that's,
thing?
That's one. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't think I've seen any
presumably.
Other ones, just the Christmas one, like specifically for
but they
the
were on a TV
Muppet
show.
Muppet Treasure
right?
Island.
Yeah, the Muppet show.
Muppet Treasure Island. Yeah, I saw
yeah,
that too.
Yeah, I saw
that.
There was saw it light up in his face.
Yeah. There was a Muppet show called
that
The Muppet
Tim
Show.
Tim Curry in it.
Yeah, that one had Tim
yes.
Curry.
Nice.
The Christmas Carol one had Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Yeah, Michael Caine is the main human.
He's
in,
Scrooge?
Is Scrooge, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Who they apparently forgot to tell was in a Muppet movie
yeah.
because he's the most serious you've
yeah.
ever seen.
Yeah.
I've heard...
He does act the crap out of this Muppet movie,
I've had the Muppet Treasure Island and Muppet Christmas Carol contrasted where Michael Caine plays the straightest, like, real character you can, and then there's a bunch of Muppets around him,
uh-huh.
and then...
And then you have Tim Curry.
Tim Curry in Treasure Island, who plays a Muppet, and essentially, you know, like, his energy is Muppet energy, and all the Muppets are a little more serious in that one
uh-huh.
because they're playing off of him.
Yeah. I'd like to see Muppet Treasure Island. I don't know that I ever have.
I feel like I enjoyed
it's
it.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed it.
I mean, we can make right a scrub night of it.
Yeah,
yeah, we should make a sometime.
I knew this was happening.
That's a thing that we could do when we go down to Birmingham.
Oh, I'm sure we can scrounge up a copy.
I'll get
somewhere.
The Barons together and watch Muppet Treasure Island, and then Steven can review it for
spoilers and
dead.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll do it MST3K style. We'll have us all like silhouetted in a little movie theater.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That'd be good. All right.
Yeah,
that's
that was
a plan. Let's do that. I'll tell Steven.
Yeah. So that was the nonsense. Announcements. We have done our tournament. So,
well, yeah,
we did it.
There
is another.
Yeah, there's another one coming. So St. Louis.
There is another.
So St. Louis, we just had our first of two store champs in St. Louis
For X-Wing. Thank
you
too
for Thanksgiving for X-Wing. Yes, I mean, I don't know what other store champs we would be talking about at this point. Yeah. Oh yeah, we did the
Muppet Christmas Carol, Muppet Christmas Carol
store championship.
It's December. It's time to do it.
Uh-huh. You know. Hold on, I have a question. What's X-Wing?
Yeah. It is a.
I don't know anymore.
I don't know how to answer that question for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but yeah, thank you to those who came out to get us to the minimum number of 16 players in order. So that
we actually
could,
had 17.
We had 17, yes. Yep. So yeah, thanks to all of you who came out. That was good times, and you know,
there will be
please
another.
Come out. Yes, there will be another. So please come out again. I'm not hosting this one, but there is another one happening.
January 6th.
Yes, January 6th on a Saturday at game night. That one is being hosted by the venerable Falcon King Bob Howe, who's got some really cool prizes for it.
Venerable, huh?
Huh?
He's venerable.
Yeah.
He is old.
It's easy to venerate somebody when they're old.
I forgot what I was saying because you
Yeah, so that January 6th, and then Scrub Down will be in May sometime.
Yes, the Scrub Down will be at some point in May. We have basically no plans other than we think it's happening and it's going to be in May sometime.
We're vaguely starting to work on prize support.
Yeah. That's true.
We need to start designing jackets.
Oh, yeah. Remember when you promised people that you were going to make
jackets? Oh, yeah. About a month ago.
Wow.
Where be my jacket?
Yeah, hurry up so we can take it down in January. We don't have to pay for shipping.
Because Lauren gets one too.
Oh, well,
so there's two that we need to take down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you really need to get
on
this then.
I really need to get on that.
Yeah. I'm going to text you.
Right? Priority mail this, Dan. Jeez. Come on. Well.
Yeah.
All right.
I think
store champs, if you play this game called X-Wing, there's a store champ in
when is that, January sometime?
We literally just said it was the 6th of January. Matt said it like twice or three times.
Okay. Well, that's when it is. I was just making sure
so
the people heard.
You are like Clint. It is January 6th.
I was just making sure the people heard, you know.
Okay. Good job.
Yep, did that. Sorry, I was staring off over to different places and just wondering, why are we not home playing League hating ourselves?
Very good. All right. Well, thank you for being our guest, Connor, and we hope that that the prize of dubious value has not been of zero value. We hope you've enjoyed being on.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Right on.
Well, I'm sure you'll talk to these people, you know, just a few minutes from now. But,
potentially.
Oh, yes.
I will see you in January. And yeah. Goodbye to all the other people in Internet Land.
Yes.
Yes. Bye-bye. Goodbye, Internet Land.
Bye-bye.
Well, we did the thing.
We did the thing.
We did the thing.
Thanks for being on.
Hello, boy.
Excuse me. Is it back?
Are you brainless?
No, not really, no.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent. Don't do that again. Many Gungans will be killed.
Ah, Lucifer is well seen.